What are you doing?
Putting my shit on silent.
You what?
Putting my shit on silent.
I put mine on silent. All right, Kyle. Are you ready?
I think so.
Let's do this thing.
Nice.
So what do you think? This is episode number 12.
Number 12. What are we talking about this time?
You know, we've only done 12. You know, it makes me wonder about those guys from RC Hilly Nation back in the day.
You did like 290.
Oh, gee. How do you get all that content? You tell me.
I have no idea. For us, it's every week is a struggle. Like, what are we talking about again? Is that going to make? Is that going to fill up the time? But those guys nailed down 3 hours every week?
No way.
Good for them. I mean, that
takes
a lot of work.
A lot of shit, I guess. Apparently. Just waste a lot of time. I don't know.
Good for them, though.
But this is episode number 12.
Number 12.
So, we already did an IRCHA episode. We did it from within IRCHA, right? Mm-hmm. So, I feel like we need to do IRCHA justice and do like an IRCHA recap.
Yes.
Like a recap? No.
Recap. We're going to talk about our experience. We have some small interviews for you guys to listen to with some key people from IRCHA.
Yeah.
Talk about the events going on within IRCHA and just kind of go over the BK experience of IRCHA 2018 and what we thought of it.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
what you been doing, though?
What have I been up to lately? Not much. Just same thing. Work and paying bills and doing laundry and, you know, this, that, and the other.
No way.
Nothing special.
Flying?
The Sunday after IRCHA, you and I went flying.
And I don't want to talk about that.
No, come on. You and I both flew planes.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
It went great.
Had a little issue on landing.
It's okay. It'll be back together soon.
You had an issue too, but yours was, no offense, brother, but yours was similar to this Chick-fil-A lunch material. Yeah.
I have the Horizon Hobby UMX Timber, and I cracked the wing by flying it into a fence post. So I decided to go full speed down, straight down, then pull up elevator, and one of the wings snapped off. So flew it around knife edge for a while before it hit a fence.
Well, Kyle Dahl messed it up for you ahead of time.
Yes, Kyle Dahl is a very good friend. As we were flying in Delaware, I was doing a nice, beautiful pass right to left, medium speed, and he decided to turn my transmitter off mid-pass. And that certainly set it on a path for destruction. But anyway, the plane is definitely destroyed now, so it's all good.
Yeah, cool. And congratulations, you have a new car. I think we brought that up. But
yes. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I bought a new car.
How does it feel like not to be worried about the shit breaking down again?
It's good, but a car payment is not fun. But it's all good. It is what it is.
Welcome to the life of everybody else.
Yeah. But anyway, can we go back to that flying day? What did you do?
No. We don't want to talk about that. I owe it all to my buddy, Kyle Stacey, for recommending that it was very safe to fly a turbine jet in a place that was like a motocross track.
Come on.
And needless to say, it didn't end up very pretty.
You and I were both like, it should be fine, right?
The takeoff was beautiful. The takeoff was great. Well, no, it wasn't beautiful. It was bumpy, but it got off the ground great.
It was
flew
suitable.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was suitable.
The landing wasn't so good.
Why? What happened?
I don't know. Something broke. Never mind. It'll fly again. It's fine. Just a little bit of a structural repair. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
So, it's cool. I'm enjoying this turbine thing, dude.
No.
Yeah, we need to do an episode about airplanes. I know that our audience is mostly helicopters. And, you know, we both are. But come on. You got to admit, planes are fun. There's just they offer like an escape from, you know, just flying the helicopters every single time, right?
Dude, this time of year is exactly when I get back into planes because it's like IRCHA is over, all the events are done. You're a little burnt out on helis, so this is when I break out the planes, start having fun. Because I've been flying planes for 18 years, just like helis, so it's a really good way to relax.
This is totally different. It's like, for you, it's probably not as bad as it is for me, but when I fly a heli and I really want to push to the limit, it's stressful. It's draining. Like when I land, I'm like, whoa, I survived. And like But when I fly the plane, it's like, well, with a turbine, I'm a little afraid because it's a lot of money in the air, right?
Yeah,
but
sure.
But even so, I'm afraid is different. I'm not so afraid of me messing it up. I'm more afraid of like the fact that it's worth a lot of money and something could go wrong with it.
Anything could go wrong with it.
Yeah. But as far as me like stretching the envelope and like being an inch off the ground and like crashing because of like I pushed too hard, mm-hmm. I don't worry about that. It's a different kind of stress.
Right.
So it's just, I don't know, it's just a little bit of a change.
I think
change is good. Change is good.
It's fun.
Not for change forever, but change from time to time is good.
For now.
It's like doing RC cars. I remember when I was going a few races, you know, as much as it's not the same passion that I ever had with helicopters, it was a good change of pace.
Yeah.
Different audience, different people. Like, you get to meet new people. Like, it's just different. It's just cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's still RC, radio control. So you're still keeping the fingers moving, keeping the mind going. It's just... just a different avenue.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's fun.
So let's talk about IRCHA. So this was definitely a fun IRCHA, don't you agree?
It was different for us. It was a lot more laid back, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the whole fact that we didn't have a tent, like a formal, per se, like vendor tent.
Like a booth.
Yeah, like a booth with like a counter and product and displays. Yeah. That made it so different. It completely changed the dynamics of the entire week.
Yeah.
Right?
It was like weird. It was like, all right, what am I supposed to be doing now? Because there's no booth. There's like, all we had was just, what was it, like four pop-ups together?
Yeah.
It was just hanging out with your
buddies.
It was like a pitting tent. Yeah, it was
a
pitting tent.
But you know, a lot of the sponsors, not a lot, but some sponsors at IRCHA, they get their vendor tent, their sponsor tent, mm-hmm. and they use it for pitting.
Yeah, it looks so strange.
It looks like shit. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't mean to bash anybody, but... I feel like if you go to IRCHA as a sponsor, whether it is silver, gold, or platinum, those are their three sponsorship levels, and you get a tent, you should play the part and make the tent look presentable. You should have like displays, like traditionally, like with all the companies that I've ever been affiliated with, like whether it was Miniature Aircraft 12 years ago or Align 8 to 10 years ago, or like later kind of Ready Heli through my wife and then SAB. There's always been a tent that plays the part. And even with BK Designs the last 4 years at IRCHA, you know, I feel like we had a really nice tent.
Yeah.
We had like a nice backdrop and like, you know, some product on display, some helicopters on the helicopter stands. Mm-hmm. We had these displays for our servos and like mm-hmm. blades, like looked the part, like it looks like a business and you're supposed to be there behind the counter, regardless, taking care of customers, whether it is... doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be there to sell stuff, but to answer questions and like present yourself as the company you are.
Right.
But if you're not going to be doing that, I feel like you should just do what we did. I feel like that was good. It worked out really well.
Well, like with SAB the past couple of years, what we did is I think it was like a 40 by 20 tent, 40 feet long and 20 feet deep. So we split the tent in half width-wise and we put a big banner in the back. So the front was all display helis. And, like, we put rotor heads on display, like the three-blade head, new heli, stuff like that. And then behind the banner, we would have pilots wrenching. So you couldn't see mm-hmm. the wrenching, but it was still all, like, together.
Yeah.
And then if you weren't wrenching, you could be out front hanging out and talking to customers and people and stuff like that. But at least then, when people walk by, they have something beautiful to look at instead of, you know, 15 broken helis and people... putting them back together.
So I feel like what we did was great. We brought we brought some pop-ups with some nice like tent tops. We set them up. We set our helis there. That was our pitting tent area.
Yeah.
We were still a sponsor, but we didn't have like a formal sponsorship tent.
Right.
And you know, it's funny because a lot of people throughout the weekend will walk up to me and be like, "Oh, you guys are not sponsoring it." I'm like, "No, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Our logo's on the t-shirts. Like, mm-hmm. we're a sponsor. We're not. We don't have a tent."
Right.
But with that said, we had two great vendors on site.
We did.
Yeah. Heli Direct and Only Fine Helis. And they were both selling our products. So why did... there was no reason for us to try to compete with them, right?
What's the point? Like, we were able to spend time more one-on-one with customers. Like, people would come up and say, "Hey, I have this question with a Goblin." And, you know, Bert and I were always there at the time. Like, "Oh, yeah, we'll do this, this, and this." And, you know, we weren't worried about manning a tent or... product or anything,
and having to be there like at 9 a.m. to open up and to bring all the stuff out of the truck or you know, out of the trailer and setting it all up and then making sure somebody's there all day regardless. I think it worked out great.
And like, if we wanted to leave, then you just like, now we just left. Like, there was no product to like lock up or put in the trailer. Like, if you wanted to leave, you just walk away. Like, okay,
Yeah, it was awesome.
Thank and
you
to be back soon.
Like, yeah, and so talking about these vendors, man, like I wish we would have had a chance to talk to anybody from HeliTrek, like Greg or some of those guys, but we did have a chance to talk to Shannon Turner. Super nice guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Only Fine Helis, you know, he went out there with his whole family. So we have a little bit of a clip of an interview with Shannon. Should we play that?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
And warning to the listeners, unfortunately, the audio on some of these interviews really sucked.
Yeah.
And it was just us experimenting with a new microphone. Didn't realize the microphone was very unidirectional, so if we didn't get close enough to it. Mm-hmm. It was very faint. But if you guys can't quite comprehend the words, we apologize. Some interviews are better than others. But let's go ahead and play Shannon's interview. How about that?
Let's do it.
Okay, this time here we're with a good friend, a big supporter of our brands, and this is Shannon Turner from Only Fine Helis. How you doing, Shannon?
Doing great. How about you guys?
Pretty good. And Shannon comes to IRCHA. He brings the entire family. He spends a whole week out here. Sets up this shop. It's actually a really nice shop. He's got it very well stocked. What is it like to just take all this time to come here and just, I mean, this is a job to you. It's work, isn't it?
It's work, but it's a lot of fun. You know, we spend a lot of time in the prep. The main thing is the weeks and literally months prior thinking about what do I need to bring and, you know, do I need to pack this or do I need to pack that. But once we get here, yes, it's a lot of work. I mean, our booth has been full the entire time that we've been here. There's been, you know, I sat down for lunch and had to get up like four times to be able to help people and stuff, which is a good thing. But it's an enjoyable work. You know, we love the hobby. We love to do this. So, you know, if you can love your work, that's what we do. So, yes, it's very busy. We get here and try to set up at 7 in the morning, and we're here till late at night and go home, go to sleep, come back, do it again, get cable to fly every once in a while and have fun with that. But it's just, I enjoy helping people with other things to do. Well, you know, people will come in and look for a particular part, we'll need to look that up, or it may be, hey, I've got this project, and what can I do to make this work? I'm trying to figure that out. So it's pretty neat. And of course, the overall atmosphere, I think this year feels very much like a little more of a smaller fun fly to a lot of us. And it's been a really good atmosphere. Yes, we've had maybe a couple less people. I have no idea what numbers are. But the atmosphere and the folks that have been here, I've been very happy with and had a good time.
That's awesome. So, it's actually pretty cool that, you know, for you as a vendor to come here to sell stuff here. I mean, sure, you sell some stuff, you make a little bit of money, but at the end of the day, you also have a lot of expenses and, you know, to make the trip here and literally step away from your shop and being able to ship for this period of time. So I'm sure that at the end of the day, it doesn't really justify the expense, but it's something that you do for the love of the hobby and because you want to be here supporting other pilots and supporting the event, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's not something that we're doing making a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know, we're covering our ability to be able to be here. And I look at it as an investment in the hobby, an investment in our business long term, because we like to be able to meet people to let them know who we are. You know, obviously, if we get to know somebody and say 2 months later, somebody emails me and says, hey, Shannon, I met you at IRCHA. You know, I'm so-and-so. I need help with this. You know, we put a face with a name. They put my face, you know, with a name. And you develop a personal relationship. And it just makes the hobby that much more fun. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What do you think, Kyle?
I agree. So, Shannon, you've been here in previous years. So what is the business like in previous years versus now? Is it about the same? Is it slowed down? Is it picked up? Like, in your opinion, business-wise, for IRCHA, how is it different for you this year?
Well, specifically for IRCHA, you know, my business in general has been continually growing, but I think that's not so much because of the industry, but more because of
your business itself.
Yeah, yeah. My business is growing, you know, relative to...
You have more products and all kinds of stuff, yeah. You're getting more known, better known, yeah.
But, you know, as far as IRCHA itself, we did very well last year. We were the only ones selling on Wednesday and Thursday of last year, and I think partially Tuesday. And did the same thing this year, came in late Monday night, set up, and we were ready to sell on Tuesday. And Tuesday it was pouring down rain all day, and there weren't that many people in here. A lot of the people that were here were doing the aligned flight school, so they were tied up most of the time. But even with that, we had pretty decent sales on Tuesday. Yesterday, which was Wednesday, very, very good sales. A lot of people come through and get stuff. Today's probably double yesterday.
It's awesome.
So, you know, we're fine. You know, we're okay. You know, our expenses are going to be covered. We're good. So we hadn't had any issues. As far as my business goes, we're glad to have been here. It's been worth our while, and we'd love to do it next year.
All right, there you have them, folks. This is, of course, Shannon Turner. Thank you, Shannon. And, you know, Shannon goes to a lot of events, too, like especially in the East Coast. You know, the Virginia events, the Heli Mow Down, the Spring Fling. He goes to the Helis over Delaware. I'm sure you do other events. Just if you see him at an event, just stop by, say hello, and support him. It's a great family. It's family-owned business. You know, this is what we're all about. So thanks again, Shannon. Appreciate it.
So that was Shannon Turner. Nice guy.
Yeah, good family. I like him.
Absolutely, and I apologize once again for the audio, guys. Like, I think things get kind of better off and on throughout the weekend. But, now we know better. When we bring this rig to an event, if we want to interview people, now we know better, right, Kyle?
Exactly, yeah. We're going to keep the microphone closer and hopefully try and block some wind, maybe. But, oh well, we're still learning the whole podcast deal. Yeah.
So, as I said before, in addition to Shannon and Only Fine Helis, we only had Heli Direct. And, you know, they were there the whole weekend, too. It was kind of cool the way they set it up this year. They had center stage, and then they had a vendor on one side and a vendor on the other side, like side by side.
Yeah.
And good old competition, you know, two different shops with relatively similar products, but yet different. Some of them focus more on one than the other.
Sure.
And I think it worked out good.
Yeah, yeah. And Heli Direct, they just moved their warehouse out to near Muncie, Indiana. So if you needed something that they didn't have on site, they were doing runs to the warehouse to pick it up. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, this is true.
Pretty good of them. But
so what about the sponsors?
The sponsors.
Actually, before we even talk about sponsors, let's talk very briefly about IRCHA in itself.
IRCHA? Ooh, that's broad.
How do you think it went this year in comparison to previous years? You know, we've had this controversy that everybody talks about, like how commercialized has become, and like we even discussed this before in previous podcasts.
Sure.
Do you think it felt as commercial? I think IRCHA tried to make this. I'm not trying to say anything bad about IRCHA. I just speak my brain here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying how I feel. I feel like the IRCHA board, including Charles Anderson, president of IRCHA, try to continue on with the tradition of what we've become, what they've become, which is a commercialized trade show, quote unquote, type event.
Sure.
I think it kind of backfired on them.
You think?
A little bit.
Okay.
I think a lot of the sponsors were happy with the format and everything, but a lot of sponsors, on the other hand, and a lot of people were not happy with the format. And let me tell you something. When we went out there those evenings, because for the listeners that didn't know, we went out there, I think Matt Bodos went out there to center, I think on Thursday night, and brought his sound system and put on a party on center stage. And then Friday, Thursday, I talked to Charles, the president, and I said, hey, do you mind if we do this again tomorrow? And can we, by the way, use IRCHA's sound system? He's like, sure. He was very receptive. Mm-hmm. And then Matt and I went back on Friday night, and we had a ball, and we had, like, people flying, and anybody from, like, people nobody knew who they were to, like, super top pilots like Kenny Coe, they flew at night. Everybody had a ball. And then we repeated the same thing on Saturday.
Sure.
And what everybody commented to me and various people is that it felt more like a fun fly, because it was like bringing back the old day of just having fun. It wasn't the structured, you know, there was a competition Saturday night, right?
Like, yep.
Charles decided to call it
the
King of the Midnight Sun or something about the Midnight Sun.
Something weird like that.
And yeah, it was just kind of a gay name, but sorry, Charles. But it worked. It was great. It felt more like where it should feel like the hobby going back to its roots which is all about having fun.
And what was funny is that competition, I think, had more carnage and more destroyed helis in it than the entire weekend. Would you agree? Because everyone was trying as hard as they could to fly as low and as fast as they could. And everyone was just spraying their stuff left and right. They were doing full speed and just driving it in like a fence post.
So even though the main core of the event remained the same, I think that there were a few small changes that were not to say that it. There were a few changes made by some of the people that attended, including Matt Bodas. I have to give Matt a lot of props. Matt's all about the having fun part of it, and like Super Trooper, I had a ball with Matt during the whole event, and thank you, Matt, if you're listening, for everything you did. I think that Matt and I think alike when it comes to like how the event should continue, right? And it nothing against the event raising money. They have to, because they have to make money.
Sure.
But we need to bring the hobby back to where it was, which is just about having fun. And there's not enough people in it to make it so commercial. So I think it worked out great. I think it was a good sort of like transitioning years, I would call it. Like, it was not, it didn't feel as like, I can't even find the word. It just felt more personal, right? Yeah. Like the whole event, yeah. Right?
The way I saw it is that Urchin knows that it needs to be more fun, but to them and the sponsors, it's also a business. So
yeah,
the way I saw it is they definitely implemented some things to make it more fun, such as they did, man, I don't even remember what they called it, like the Iron Man event, yeah. Where like you throw a heli, like, okay, like, cool, like, whatever, that's different. Yeah. That's like good for that, but... No, I might get some heat on this, but they also brought a beer tent. And, you know, I love to drink beer just as much as the next guy. Yeah. I love drinking beer, but I don't think that helicopters and beer go together. And I kind of voiced that to Urcha, like, that's a brave move. Like, you're basically encouraging people to drink and fly.
Yeah,
and,
but come on, man. Like, think about it from the other perspective, right? How many times have you not been to, like, Heli Masters or 3D Masters in Europe and they serve beer? Like, sure, you got to do it, like... We're all adults, so I totally agree with you in a way, but on the other hand, it's almost like, man, if you're going to get hammered and drink like 5 beers, don't go and fly.
Like, I think it's just like a, like, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it no matter what, whether that beer garden's there or not.
Yeah, of course. They're going to go to the freaking gas station and buy it.
Which is fine. Like, that's their choice. Like, I'd prefer if they didn't, and it's your own choice to do that. But I just feel like the beer garden being there kind of encouraged it. And now I'm going to be honest in that I had some beers there. I didn't fly afterwards, obviously,
but don't forget that there are a lot of people that go to Urcha and they just want to watch the show. Like, for instance, Saturday night.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. There was a lot of people there. Like, not as many as, like, in years past, but there was still a lot of people. Maybe... If I could just throw a number, 300 people maybe, mm-hmm. 300 people watching the show, 400 people, I don't know, a lot of people watching the show.
Sure.
There's only like 30 pilots flying.
Yeah.
So like, it's a good way for people to just go and get their beer, sit down on their camping chairs or whatever and just watch the show, right?
That's exactly what I did. I mean,
now what I think that if for the people that are really like adamant about like not having alcohol in the premises, you know, maybe they should open the beer garden after a certain hour, right? Like...
Which
after
I think
6
they did.
O'clock or whatever. Yeah,
I think they did because it was not there all day.
Yeah,
I don't remember either. Yeah. But, you know, it's. I mean, like, I can't sit here and scrutinize Urcha because they did a great job, and I have absolutely no idea what it takes to put on an event of that size. But, you know, something we touched on a couple episodes ago was the power hours.
It was the power hours, let me tell you, with the exception of Mikado.
Yes.
Because they give away stuff. Not to undermine Mikado. They're a great company. They're awesome stand-up company.
We'll get back to that. I have another idea about that, but keep going.
With the exception of a couple of companies, the power hours were freaking dead.
There was nobody.
But on the other hand, I have this speaker, right, that we bought at Best Buy.
Yes.
It's an awesome speaker. It's Bluetooth. And I was just cruising around with the ATV with the speaker and just talking on the microphone, just smack, right? And playing music out loud. And I think it was Thursday night? We went, or Thursday or Friday night, one of those nights. It could have been Thursday. We went out to the east side.
Yeah.
And we parked the ATV. We pulled the speaker from the ATV, put it right in the middle of a flight station. Bodos came up, and you were there, and Kyle Dole was there, and a bunch of people were there.
Yeah.
And next thing, I look around, and, you know, we're just playing music and talking on the mic and talking smack and having, like, fun flying.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing, I look around, and there were, like, freaking 100 people watching that.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
10 times more people that you would see at the typical power hour.
Right.
So what does that show you? That shows you that people are after that fun factor.
Right.
They're not after watching the same company do the same routine flights for 1 hour. Not anymore. It's not there.
Because the power hour is just one big sales pitch, which it is. It's a power hour demo.
Yeah.
It's a sales pitch. But
when,
you know, you and me and Bodos and Dahl and Mirko, we all take a flight station somewhere, it's just, you know...
They know that we're there for fun.
We're just there having fun. Like, Kyle goes and flies, then I go and fly, then Mirko goes and flies better than all of us combined. And
I think people get that. Everybody that goes to Urcha, as well as any other event, they're hobbyists. They love the hobby.
Right.
They know when you're doing this shit because you really are enjoying yourself versus when you're doing this shit because it's all staged.
Exactly.
And timed and prepared and everything else.
Yeah.
Right.
And I feel like those evening SmackDown sessions that we create, that is where you see the best flying from each
pilot. Of course, because it's the end of the day. Nobody gives a shit.
The day is over. You can fix at night. It's not like a power hour where it's like, all right, well, I have four more of these to do this afternoon. Yeah. Now I got to go fix. And it's like, no, you hold back in the power hours and you fly harder later. But those go-off sessions, what we call it, the go-off flight zone.
The go-off flight zone.
The go-off zone is where we just lay it all out. And have
I didn't
fun
go
with
off,
it.
But I flew. I think I flew like twice all weekend. Pretty sad.
I think I saw three flights.
I was just pulling all kinds of different I didn't think I was, but I guess I was. It's like always something. Oh, you got to bring more product to like Helidrack. You got to do this. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, we did the stick mover seminars. I think that worked out really well. A lot of interest in that. A lot of interest.
A lot more than I thought there would be.
Yeah, we need to do a video about the stick mover. But anyway, exactly. Shameless plug over. Yeah. What else went on? Oh, we got a chance to... So, talking about IRCHA, let's finish the whole IRCHA political conversation.
Yes.
We got a chance to interview Charles Anderson,
the president of IRCHA Jamboree.
Short interview. You want to play it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hey, guys. We're walking down the line, and we're in front of Mr. Charles Anderson, president of IRCHA. How you doing, Charles?
Oh, I'm doing great. The weather broke, and we've got nothing but blue skies and just a light breeze. It's a fantastic day.
So, Charles, how long have you been president of IRCHA?
Well, this is my second year as president, but I've been a part of the organization for, I think, 14 years.
Wow. So, tell the listeners, like, I mean, this takes a lot of work. How long does it take to prepare this stuff? Like, I mean, I'm sure you've been asked this question, but we have to put it on our podcast. You know, I'm sure you start working on this, like, literally at the end of this event, you'll probably start planning for next year. But typically, I mean, when do you start, like, getting serious about the preparations and setting everything up?
So it's kind of progressive. Usually the first month after the event, we don't want to see each other for about a month. So we don't talk to each other much for that first month. After that, we start planning a little bit slowly for the first few months. We do have one meeting right after the event as a wrap-up, kind of decide what worked, what didn't work for the year. So usually around the end of November is when we really start to have meetings. So we have meetings once a month. And then once we get into the first of the year, we'll go to sometimes once every 2 weeks. But then once we get into the spring, we start doing weekly meetings. And then once we hit June, usually May, June, and July, we'll do at least a weekly meeting. So it varies depending upon if we have to decide something, if we have more meetings than not. But it's typically monthly, and then bi-weekly, and then weekly. So it ramps up as we get closer and closer to that.
And I know it's not something they can probably answer right off the top of your head, but approximately how many sponsors do you have, like, this year, like, roughly?
I think we have, there's roughly 20 sponsors that are here. There's silvers, golds, and platinums.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you know yourself, without sponsors, an event like this just doesn't happen. I mean, it takes money to fuel everything that goes on, so we truly thank everything that they do.
Cool. Well, thank you, Charles. Appreciate it. I know you're busy, so thanks for your time.
Oh, thanks very much, and have a great event.
Nice guy. Charles is a nice guy.
Yeah, he's wild.
He's a little weird, cool. But
he's a little strange. But... That's Charles, though.
Definitely. I think he's starting to understand that things need to change a little bit, which is good. It's good.
Yeah, he's cool.
So what about all the sponsors, man? Mm-hmm. The typical guys, huh?
I don't even want to ramble off names because I'm not even going to come close to it.
No, we're not going to mention sponsors. But the one there's a couple of people that stood out, right?
Yes.
So one of them was Nick Maxwell.
Yeah, with Futaba USA.
Yeah, and exactly. And that's why, because Nick has always traditionally gone to IRCHA as just your typical sponsor guy.
Sure.
Goes out there, he flies, he has fun. Mm-hmm. This time he was in charge of Futaba.
Yeah.
The Futaba booth at IRCHA.
Yep.
And, you know, congratulations, Nick, for starting Futaba USA. I think he has product now in stock in Huntsville, Alabama. That's their main distribution and repair center.
Yep.
And he has his tent there, so we had a chance to interview him. It's a very, very short interview.
Yeah, let's hear what he has to say.
Should we play that one too?
Yeah.
We're going? Okay. All right, this is Kyle Stacey from the BKRC Podcast. We're out at IRCHA 2018. Bert with me, and we have a very special guest. Mr. Nick Maxwell. Nick, how's it going?
Good. How about you?
We're good. We're good. We're here at Futaba USA tent.
Yeah.
So Nick just started up Futaba USA. He's very instrumental in it. You got all the Futaba product back in the USA and this new dealership. So tell us about it.
So basically everything that you wanted from Futaba, we've got and more. So as you know, we separated from Habaco and they kind of went away, we decided we needed our own place in the United States. So we had control over our marketing, we had control over everything. So customer now gets to work directly with Fatale.
That's cool. Very cool. So you're stocking everything in Huntsville, Alabama, correct?
Yep.
Service center, everything?
Service center, everything. Adam, our service guy's over there right now.
Nice. Very cool. So what do you think of Urcha 2018? What's the attendance like? What do you think?
Well, it's down. There's no doubt about that so far. But so far is good weather, lots of flying. So should be a good weekend.
Okay. Bert, what do you think?
I think it's down. I agree with Nick. And congratulations, Nick, on the deal for Tabay USA. That's pretty awesome, man. Are you guys doing retail too, or are you just going to do wholesale to the dealers?
Yeah, we're going to do B2C and also to dealers.
Oh, awesome. Well, best of luck to you. What are you flying this week and doing demos? What are you doing?
Yeah, if I can get out of the booth, I'll go do demos. We have a power hour at 5 p.m. Saturday, maybe 6, I can't remember, and one on Saturday.
Awesome. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Cool. Thank you.
What do you think of Nick?
He's a good guy. He's got the Futaba USA thing up and going, so it's pretty cool to see them back in force in the USA.
Man, when I met Nick, it was like XFC 2005 or 6. 2006, Troy, Ohio.
No way.
That guy was such a hack, dude. Like, he was flying a T-Rex 600 electric. He was sponsored by Align then.
Yeah.
And he was a great pilot, like, but man, his stuff was so hacked, it just failed every freaking time. Like,
really?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, one day, like, after hanging with Tim Sconard, he really got good at his wrenching, and, like, he's very methodical now. Like, he's an awesome guy, awesome pilot.
Yeah, very cool.
So, who else was there for sponsors that's worth mentioning? Your boy, Gail. Align.
Yeah. Gail Align.
Yeah.
And Mr. Alan Szabo Jr. We had a chance to talk to them and see what they think of the Urcha Jamboree and what's going on with them.
You know, it's funny because Gail is a newbie. Right?
He's a newbie, yeah. He's new to the hobby. Yeah.
Which I think is kind of hilarious. Yeah. Like, he got thrown into the whole hobby business.
Out of nowhere.
And he's doing a good job at it. He definitely is. He was doing video the whole time at the Battle of the Brands.
Yeah.
So we have a little bit of an interview with Gail and Alan Szabo. Alan's the oldest standing pilot, sponsored pilot that I can think of that is still active, right?
In heli years, he is an incredibly old fart.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, in heli years, like, as this active sponsor pilot, who else is there other than Alan?
Bobby?
Still not as old as Alan. No, dude. Alan started flying like at least 5 to 10 years before Bobby. Bobby started flying like a year before I did. Like, you started flying before Bobby and I did, but you weren't active in the circuit. I'm saying like active.
Oh,
like,
active in the circuit.
Active in the circuit, like going to events. Like, he's the longest still standing pilot that has been going actively in the circuit, like going to Urchas, going to events. Like,
I can't think of anyone else.
I think Alan's the only one. I guess Todd Bennett.
Matt Bodos, maybe?
No, Matt.
Matt Bodos was like 2003, though.
Yeah, but Alan's, it's even before that, dude. Alan is like
Isn't
the 90s.
And
yeah.
he's like 30.
Yeah, Alan was, I think Alan started, I might be way off on this. We need to bring him on the podcast. But I think Alan started being active, like going to events and Urcha and things like that when he was like 12.
Well, he says in this interview how many Urchas he's been to.
Yeah. So all right, let's play this thing.
Let's
how about that?
Yeah.
All right, we're at Urcha again. We have two very special guests with us here now, the one and only legendary Alan Szabo Jr. Alan, how's it going?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. And we have Mr. Gail Align from Enterprise Hobby. Gail, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Yeah. I'm still doing good. So, Alan,
you forgot Bert.
Bert's always here.
We'll come back to Bert. Yeah. So, Alan, you've been to about 435 Urchas so far.
Yep, this is number 19, officially number 19 this year.
Number 19. So how has Urcha changed in your mind?
It's gotten a lot bigger and more spread out, I would say, in the last few years. They've opened up more flight stations, so got just a lot more people spread out everywhere flying.
Yeah, so back in the day, I remember when there was noontime demos where every top pilot would come out and fly at 1 hour, but now there's power hours. So what do you think the difference is between the noontime demos and like a power hour?
I think a lot of people like to show up for true noontime demos because it's a more organized event. Versus power hours are just kind of like the whole team goes out and flies. So you get a bigger mix with the real noontime demo situation. So I'm a fan of the noontime demos.
You are a fan?
I am a fan.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Gail, what urchin number is this for you? How many have you been to?
This is number 3.
Okay, and what do you think of 2018?
I think it's great. I mean, there's still people here, companies, some have changed, some have gone.
Gil's a newbie. Gil's
a newbie, yeah. Right? So, I mean, I don't really have anything to compare it to other than you hear a lot of things. The biggest deal is you should come and experience it.
Yeah.
We're all here. We're having fun.
Yeah.
Well, we did an episode about urchin fun flies like 3 weeks ago, and we said no matter what people say, or if it's smaller or if the numbers have shrunk or whatever, you have got to be here, right?
Yeah,
if you've never made the trip and you're into helicopters, you have to come.
You have to come at least once.
This is an absolute must. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was great when that's how I got the job. You know, it's like, you want to go to Urcha? Sure. I'm going to get paid. That's even better, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But on top of it, it's still a lot of fun.
And it's
everybody's accessible. So you can come up and see whoever you want to talk to. I mean, I got to talk to you for the first time at Urcha.
Yeah.
And I'm the guy that followed you and did things, and you helped me fly. So
you had that conversation.
I got really.
No, it's not. He kept me in the hobby with his videos.
Cool.
The videos of flying.
Cool.
We've talked about that before.
So definitely we have to get Gail on a regular podcast episode, like a 45-minute Gail 1-on-1 with us. No doubt. Are you up for that?
Yeah, I'm up for that. Maybe I should come down where you're at, and then that way we can have a.
Oh, we could do that too, but we could do it via Skype. And we have to have Alan, but he says he doesn't do podcasts.
What? I've never done a podcast. This would be my first podcast. Is this considered a podcast?
Yeah.
Or just a recording you replay later?
This is a recording we replay later, but it's part of a podcast.
But is a podcast live?
We could do it live, or we don't have to do it live. It
makes no difference to me. I'll answer the same way. I just didn't know.
We'll work on Alan. So,
We'll get Alan.
All right, guys. Appreciate the couple minutes of your time, and glad you're having fun at Urcha.
Absolutely.
We'll see you around.
Cool.
Alan is an interesting character,
isn't he?
He has a great life.
Yeah,
he spends his days at the lake with his boat. Congratulations, Alan, on getting married too. He's another one that's getting married, just like Bobby Watts, huh?
Yeah, but Alan's paid his dues. He's been doing this for a long time.
Next is gonna be you.
Me?
Yeah. Doing you're gonna what? Get married too. Yeah. Next.
Yeah. Next year. Yeah. Next year. Done.
Yeah. Okay.
No, no need.
So, what else we have? There was a lot of freaking sponsors there though.
Yes. The next one that we talked to is Mr. Luca Invernizzi from Lynx and Oxy Helicopters.
Yeah, this is quite a long interview.
It is. It's longer. But Luca's a cool dude.
Luca's awesome, man. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a good man. He made some custom V-bar cases for you and I.
Yeah, and we learned during this interview that he does custom work.
Yes.
And I was impressed. I was like, yeah, I just order one. It's fine. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible, right?
Yeah, for the same price. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before.
It's insane. So.
And the funny thing is he has his clan, right? Rich Knapp and all those guys, and they set up this Lynx/Oxy camp right there in the campground, like in the far back end of the campground. Mm-hmm. And man, they set up a lot of tents, and they have a cook. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, he told me he has a cook that comes and cooks for them, and like, oh yeah,
nice.
They enjoy themselves. They live the life at Urcha.
Good for them.
So let's go ahead and play Luca.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we're here at Urcha 2018.
Yep.
We have a special guest.
Very special. Indeed.
All the way from Vietnam. But guess what? This guy's actually Italiano.
Yes.
But he lives in Vietnam. How you doing, Luca?
I'm doing well, very well. Today, I'm happy.
Luca Invernizzi, everybody. Yes.
Yeah, happy.
From Oxy Helis and Lynx.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Why are you happy? Why?
Tell us. Today was a very good day.
Why?
Because we are working to something new. And
we have a surprise?
We are testing. And today was, I see something change in the new project.
For the good.
Yeah, for very good. Yeah, because we understood something that was wrong, and now we know how to fix. Actually, we already fixed a little bit.
Nice.
That was good. Very good.
Nice.
So, Luca, for the people that don't know Luca, I mean, everybody knows Luca.
No,
but for the people that
no
don't know,
way.
Yeah, of course. But for the people that don't know Luca, how long have you been in the hobby? When did you start the hobby? You're born in Italy. You're Italian.
Yes.
Milan, right?
North Milan, 60 kilometers north Milan.
Almost Mandello. Almost in Switzerland.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very close to the South Switzerland, yes.
Yeah. And when did you start flying?
I forgot because it was a long time ago.
But
I get in the hobby with racing boat because I live very close to the lake. My family, very lucky, they have a villa near the lake.
Yeah.
And then
so you're doing RC boats.
Yeah, I start with RC boat.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's cool.
But it was difficult because my father in that time don't want to support me. Then I need support like a boat. And it was very complicated. And after a few failure, lost a few boats, then I stopped. I went to airplane for a little bit. And then I went to car, RC car. Then in RC car, I really enjoy a lot. For maybe 5-6 years, I was racing. And
on road or off road?
Off road.
8 scale?
Yes.
Yeah.
1.8.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Two. At that time, it was 2 category: 4-wheel and 2-wheel.
What year is this? Like, 80s, 90s?
86.
Wow.
86.
And then you did airplanes, or after cars, you went to helicopters?
Yes. Then after car, I make a stop because. I don't know if you've never been in RC car racing.
Yeah, yes, many times.
Have a lot of stress situation, fighting.
Yeah.
And then I get a little bit tired. You know, the judge is never sure what's happened. Then I was very, very tired about RC. I went out, I do other stuff, and then I jump because I saw some small helicopter. Was a Valkyra. We talk about
Valkyra.
360 Valkyra, very famous.
We were talking about the wooden thing. What is that called?
Corona.
The Corona.
Yeah.
It was probably early 2000s.
Yeah, early
2000s. Yeah.
Wow. And so, what made you go from that to become to starting your own company? You were sponsored by Art Rage, I remember.
You became
an employee of Art Rage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was designer for Art Rage. I went to helicopter, but at that time my job was diving. I was in a completely different domain.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I was back and forward from Italy and USA. I was a job over there, and then I was designer. Then I started to play helicopter and. I started with some friend in Italy, but when I went in California, I saw the first new T-Rex 450, and then the 600 coming. Then was really excited at that moment, and then I jumped to the helicopter. And how I started the business helicopter? Who know me personally at home? I always do my passion a job. Then I start to think about to make upgrade, link cell innovation, and then in the end, we come with Oxy-Heli.
Oxy-Heli. So Lynx started before Oxy.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
And then tell us, Oxy, how many helicopters you have now?
Yeah, right now it's our 4 Hircha as Oxy, and then we have actually 4 size helicopters.
4 sizes.
Yeah.
Nice. Very,
very
cool.
And Luca makes one of my favorite upgrades, the metal V Bar Neo.
One of my favorite
case.
Too. Yeah.
Oh yes. That's funny.
Kyle and I fly. Keep RC helis alive.
Yeah.
And he made some special ones for us.
Thanks, you guys. About the invitation of the movement. Keep RC alive.
No, thank you for supporting it.
Yeah.
Thank you for supporting.
It's very glad.
And you know what? I have nothing bad to say about V Bar. Nothing bad. We love V Bars. We fly Neos. Kyle and I do.
Yep.
But if you have a very hard crash, you're going to break that freaking case.
Yeah, it's happened.
So you can get the Luca's case.
Yeah.
And Luca makes a beautiful case. It's
perfect.
Part of the Lynx product lineup.
Yep.
He has it with the Keep RC Haley's Alive logo if you want it that way. Or you can get it without the logo.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Or you can have your logo. Now, for example, we make a special logo, personal logo for Danca Boisson. Kind of sexy lady with a very nice.
So
very
if somebody
nice.
Wants a special logo, no, they can't get it.
Just contact us by email.
Contact Lynx.
Yeah, no change of price. They can submit us
the
logo, the DC.
No way.
Yeah.
But you have a minimum quantity, right?
One.
One
and more.
Wow. Wow. No,
we can put name, signature, color, and
no
logo.
Way.
Yeah, yeah,
really?
Yeah.
There you go, people.
That's
if
awesome.
You have a V-Bar Neo.
And that now we are also coming with the V1 Neo, because many people have the old Neo.
The old Neos, yeah.
Yeah, and then have a two different layer PCB. We are doing the special case, probably not 1 week from now. Very soon we will have.
But right now you have the V2 or like V2, the most V2. Recent, which almost everybody has it. Some people, very few people have the old one. But that's cool, man. I mean, you do one. So if somebody wants a red one with their name on, you can
yeah.
do
it. Yeah, sure.
How much?
Yeah, the regular price. No change in price.
What? Really.
Yeah.
How?
Yes. Because we are a small company. We don't stock too much. For example, we have a lot of case ready, CNC finish, but no anodized, not laser. When you order, we can make 1, 2, 3 pieces, no problem.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So there you have it, people.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome, Luca.
Thank you.
Support Luca. Support the companies that are in the hobby
Thanks.
For the long term.
Thanks.
Don't support the companies that come and go. Support the people that are here forever, the true hobbyists. Luca's been in the hobby since he was a kid. Started with boats.
You and I, we are long friends.
Long time.
I see Kyle start
when he was like 5 years old or whatever, 10 years old. Yeah.
I think I was in Orlando, Las Vegas.
Orlando Blowout. I think he was like maybe 12.
Probably.
Yeah. You're 22
with
now,
his,
right?
Yeah, T-Rex 450 was amazing.
But you know, like, that's the beauty of the hobby. Like, the people that are in the business, in the hobby business, right, that we talked about that earlier.
Yes.
That love the hobby.
Yes. Yes.
Support them, because we are hobbyists. Luca is a hobbyist. He started with boats. Mm-hmm. He did airplanes. He did cars. He's now into helicopters. He's been in it before he can remember. And you're what, 50 years old now?
I'm 53.
So, and you started when you were a kid. So, I mean, that's awesome.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so, I tried to pass my passion of assembly, disassembly, even destroy everything at home, but to my son that is 5 years old, because I'm lucky, because he has a very good attitude, like I was when he want to understand things, and then it's good. I like sometimes he damage something expensive, but he learn fast.
And Luca is Italian, parla italiano,
100%
italiano.
100%.
Yeah, sì.
Le chiese proprio di nascita.
Io parlo solo un po' italiano. But Luca moved to Vietnam. How long ago?
10 years ago.
And he just moved to Vietnam, married a Vietnamese girl.
Yeah, 7 years
very
ago.
Very young girl. How old is she now, Luca?
25.
What?
25.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
awesome.
And Luca is 53. God bless you, brother. That's awesome. Badass.
But you know, for Vietnam.
You have two kids.
I have 2 kids. 1, 5 and 1, and a girl, 2. Giovanni and Adele.
And for Vietnam is what?
Yeah, for the Vietnam culture, woman, the difference between woman and man, it's not really important. Actually, for the long culture, the woman older can understand the woman easy. Yeah, because you know, when men become old, we can pass away.
Oh yeah, we're
we are
more
younger,
easy going. Yeah,
Latino like us.
Oh yeah, more easy.
Easy to get hot and pissed off fighting. Then and the Vietnamese are very Latin, like you, Bert, and me, Italian.
Yeah.
Very very hot, very very hot tempered.
Yeah.
Then it's normal
like
to have
Spanish girls or Italian
same.
Girls. Same.
Also, the attitude of the lady are very jealous, like in Spain.
Like in South America, yeah.
Then it's pretty funny. What was funny, the wedding, because the mother of my wife, she's a little bit younger than me. And the grandmother, she's a little bit older than me. Then my father was there, so, oh my God, what's going on?
But you've been in Vietnam for 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
So I made a trip to Vietnam, and I visited
Viet
Long some years ago. And it's been a long time now, Luca. I think that was 2011 maybe, or 12, I don't know.
12.
Maybe
really.
6 years ago. You were already living there for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And you're happily married. That's awesome.
Yeah, that do time, you, yeah.
Do you miss Italy?
Yes, I miss Italy, but I think Italy is a very nice country, probably the best country in the world, because you move a little bit. You don't need to move too much to get everything.
Yeah, and
from
the food.
The sea, the food.
Yeah, yeah.
And for sure, I miss my city. Every time I go back to my city, is something special.
Of course. But you like Vietnamese food?
I like
it. Do you teach your wife how to cook Italian food?
Yes, yes. My wife, she like cooking, and every time she come to Italy, she go learning, and she copy, and she check, she try to get for me, because actually they don't like the same.
Yeah, of course.
But in my home, spaghetti bolognese is
bolognese,
like my mother do.
Yeah,
very nice.
Awesome. That's great.
Well, thank you, Luca. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, thank
you.
So
what do you think of this, Urcha? Good?
Slow, but good. Always.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's slow.
But you're having fun.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm in holiday.
The hobby is slow. Right?
Yes, yes, we
know. And this is why we work very hard to keep RC Hillies alive.
Yes. We try.
Hashtag keep
and
RC Hillies alive.
I like it. I'm so happy that I'm involved, and I try to do my best to get more people inside.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you, Luca.
Thank you, Bert.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Yeah. Luca's awesome, man. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I got a chance to work with him back in the Outrage days. I was with Outrage for a very short period until they canned the company. But, yeah, Luca and I used to, like, get on the phone and discuss design ideas and things, like, middle of the night because, you know, he was living in Vietnam. He had just moved to Vietnam back then. And, yeah, super nice guy, man. He's just hyper. He always wants to do something. It's awesome.
Yeah, in Vietnam. Yeah. How do you go from moving to Vietnam or Italy to Vietnam?
I would struggle with some of the food, man.
The food, because Italy has some of the best food in the world.
Oh, my God.
Vietnam,
yeah,
where it's
no
like,
doubt.
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
No doubt.
No need.
So what else happened there?
There was a competition that I was involved in, the Battle of the Brands.
You
want
to talk about the judging?
Nope. We're going to jump right over that. I think Bobby nailed it during the Urcha
If you guys listen to the Urcha podcast, the one that we recorded during Urcha, you heard Bobby's comments. I think do you agree with his comments?
I do, and I don't really want to get into it because I don't want to come off as a sore loser, because that's not the case. It has nothing to do with who the winner was.
It has to
do with the voting involved, and I will say that the voting system is not very reliable.
Well, inherently, let's forget about rigging. Let's forget about comments that were made to you by one of the Urcha people.
Yes.
Not even worth mentioning. It's very disturbing.
Yes.
We're not going to go there.
Nope. No need.
But despite all that, forget all that. The intricate nature of the voting system is just wrong.
It's very wrong.
Because everybody has their own advantage that's unfair to the other competitor. So the more people that like you as a friend, or that the bigger the for example, not to say anything about Matt, but Matt has a lot of team pilots. So if Matt would have had somebody competing there, he would have had an advantage, because Matt has I don't even know, but I know he has considerably more pilots than we do as SAB.
Sure.
Not to say that there's something wrong with that, but he does have more pilots. So naturally every pilot is going to vote for their teammate, right? Like, these people don't even give a crap about what was the best flight. They're like, we're going to vote for Kyle Stacey because he's our teammate, period.
Yeah.
And you could destroy your flight and suck. It's not like you did, because that's not the case, but you could.
Right.
And they're still going to vote for you because they're your teammates, right?
Right.
So inherently, the voting system is flawed.
Right.
It doesn't work. They need judges. Period.
And,
judges.
And the voting system continued into other competitions. So the Midnight Sun thing, Mr. Kyle Dahl won it. Right.
Yeah.
So for those of you who didn't see it, Kyle hit the tail on the ground within the first probably 30 seconds, and then he flew with no tail rotor, which is cool. But if you want to break it down to as far as like flying and how exciting it was.
Well, here
we
go.
He didn't fly with a tail rotor.
No. Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I love Kyle.
Yes,
he's
an
awesome dude.
Amazing guy.
Crazy skills. Not to say he's any worse than any other pilot by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But the point of the matter is he broke his tail, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And because he was able to fly without tail, right?
Yeah.
He won it.
Correct.
I personally saw much better flights than Kyle Dahl's.
Agreed.
And sorry, Kyle, buddy. Like, I love you, man. And like, you probably have to agree with me on this. You have to, because I know you're a fair person if you're listening. But there were better flights. Not to say that you couldn't have done better if you would have had your solid tail throughout the entire routine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you didn't. and you want it because it's if there would have been judges, they wouldn't have given it to Kyle Dahl.
Basically, right? Just to break it down real quick, how the judging worked is that there was a website. I believe the website was RC Flight Deck, where you would log in.
It's urcha.org.
Urcha.org, yeah. Sorry, yes. Where you would select the person you want to win and hit submit. The problem is, if you went into incognito mode or private browsing, you could vote as many times as you wanted. And I voted for Mr. Dahl 5 times, personally. Just open a new tab, Dahl, vote. New tab, Dahl, vote. And you could vote for the same person, and it would count as a vote each time. That's terrible. Yeah, that's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it is.
It's disrespectful to the competitors, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. You know, hopefully, I don't know that Urcha is going to change this, but hopefully, this is not a matter of pushing Urcha on behalf of sponsors or money. This is a matter of pushing Urcha on behalf of the competitors like you, like Dahl, honestly, Kampunai, as much as I perhaps don't care for the brand he flies, he killed it. He was awesome. Not to say anything about his brand. I'm just saying, I'm not a fan.
We're just not associated.
I'm not personally a fan. Me personally, not to say there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Kenny Coe, I don't amazing. Support his brand. I have nothing bad to say about it. I used to be sponsored by them. But I'm a fair person. I think they had better flights than Dahl, and I don't have any favoritism on Excel or Align or Mikado. To me, they're all different brands.
Yeah.
So I'm just strictly looking at the flying. I think freaking Kampunai, just in terms of like the excitement level and the pirouetting TikToks kits in without skipping a beat, no corrections, right on the deck, like 6 inches off. Like the flying was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
He deserved a better score than Kyle Dahl. No offense to you, brother Kyle. I love you again. But that's the point. It's not fair. I think they need some judges there.
And what helped Kyle is he was the last pilot.
Well, that always helps.
And this has nothing to do with Kyle Dahl or any of the pilots per se, but it's just the voting system in general is not what
voting
I feel
system
it needs
is
to be.
Screwed up. Urcha, get your shit together and fix your freaking voting system so that the pilots can really truly say that they think the system is fair. So Urcha, you have a problem because the pilots that competed there, not just Stacy, but everybody else, do not agree with your voting system. So I'm sorry if I'm being a little rude right here, a little rough. Fix it. You guys can. You guys are hobbyists. You love the hobby. Yeah. You love these guys. Make it happen. You guys can do it.
And I can say that if nothing changes, then I have absolutely zero motivation to fly harder than I
And I'm sure none of the other guys will.
What's the point?
Nobody gives a shit.
There's
Why?
No point. Yeah, there's no point. Motivation to try harder.
It needs to
harder.
Be fair. And you and a lot of the competitors, including Dahl himself, can admit when somebody... It is subjective, right? Sure. We all know it's subjective. So it's impossible to say, this is the winner. But you always can narrow down the competition to a top two or two top three. And if any of those two or three win it, then the other two are going to be like, I'm not happy, but that's okay. I understand it.
Sure.
But this was not the case. It was not the case. I don't think it was the case during the not to undermine Nick Maxwell. Another kid that I really appreciate. I think he's awesome. He did a great flight. But I don't think it was fair when it came to the Battle of the Brands. And I don't think it was fair when it came to the King of the Midnight Sun or whatever the hell that's called. It was just not.
I'm okay with that Nick won. I don't understand the separation in votes.
Yeah,
correct. I don't understand that at all. Whoever wins is wins. That's all good in my book. I'm not a sore loser. Whoever, that's fine. That's all good. But I don't want to put out numbers because I don't know what they ended up at, but I do know that first, second, and third were very far separated.
Huge discrepancies
in
votes.
Huge, like hundreds of votes. Yeah. Anyway, that just doesn't make sense to me. But
anyway.
Whatever. Moving on.
What do you want to do? You want to wrap it up?
What do you think?
What else was there important at Urcha to worth mentioning? I think what was worth the whole conclusion about our recap of Urcha is that, like we've said in the past, and I will say it again, I think it sounds like a broken record. If you have not been there, you have got to go.
You have to.
We had this awesome camp. We had my camper, our camper, and Bodo's is next to us. And then we had Joe Reyes's camper in front. We had Mark Griggs on the other side and Charles Crespo with our team manager, Ron Kors, on the other side. So it was a great team effort.
Yep.
I wouldn't say team effort, but a awesome camaraderie between
cohesion.
Us. Huh?
Cohesion.
Yeah, between us, BK/SAB,
yep.
USA, and Synergy, Botos,
yep.
you know, rail team.
Yeah.
We got along great. We worked together to entertain the crowd in the evenings.
Yep.
We, you know, I mean...
We ate dinner together.
Yeah, I mean, I just have nothing else to say other than to say that I'm actually really happy that we had such a good vibe and such a good energy.
Yeah.
And like it was just awesome. It's awesome to know that there are other people in there that even though they own companies and they're directly in direct competition with us, direct because at the end of the day we're competitors.
Yeah,
that we can get along so well and be good friends and have the exact same ultimate goal in mind.
Agreed.
There's just no better feeling than that. So, Urcha for me was like. It sounds stupid, but it was like, it's revolutionary, the right word. It was like, it was just, it was such an incredible different Urcha in terms of realizing that working together with the same common goal can get us farther than, you know, than trying to be, you know, against each other or competing against each other. And it's awesome because at the end of the day, we're all doing this for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
The number one reason, of course, we have to bring money to the table. We have to make a living. We have mm-hmm. to make sure the business survives. But the main reason is we're all hobbyists and we yep. love the hobby.
And we all want to have fun and kick back with our friends and, you know, just have a good time.
Absolutely.
Have a good time at the end of the day. So I think it was good. I think Urcha went really well.
Awesome. Well, let's wrap it up.
Let's do it.
What's your Instagram?
Instagram.com/
Look him up,
Kyle Stacey. Yep.
Wow. Are you disclosing it now?
I think it's a private account, so they can look for it all they want. But okay. No, I'll make it public.
So how can people contact you?
Facebook.com/KyleStaceyRC. How about you?
Facebook.com/BurtCammer. Bert RC. Bert RC. Also Instagram, Bert_Cammer or BurtCammer, one of the two. Anyway, thank you for listening, guys. Yeah. This has been our Urcha recap for Urcha 2018. Mm-hmm. Next week, we're going to be talking about
SAB airplanes.
Yeah, I know this is the RC helicopters, but we have to have an episode on a lot of questions about the Tortuga and some of this SAB stuff. So
we'll keep it light.
Yeah, we'll keep it light. All right, thanks, guys, for listening, and you can listen to us next week.
All right, thanks, gentlemen and ladies.
See ya.